He was within 2 miles of home when she announced, "I need a few things from the grocery." "It's raining," he said. "I still need them." "Can it wait?" "You can stay in the car, just take a minute. Go to Chips, it's open today." So he headed for Chips, a place he despised not only for its outrageous prices and snooty staff, but also for its impossible location. It was still raining, of course. She couldn't pick a Kroger where you could park and make a dash. No, she wanted Chips, where you parked and hiked. Only sometimes you couldn't park at all. The lot was full. The fire lanes were packed. He searched in vain for 10 minutes before Nora said, "Just drop me at the curb." She was frustrated at his inability to find a suitable spot. He wheeled into a space near a burger joint and demanded, "Give me a list." "I'll go," she said, but only in feigned protest. Luther would hike through the rain, and they both knew it. "Give me a list." "Just white chocolate and a pound of pistachios," she said, relieved. "That's all?" "Yes, and make sure it's Logan's chocolate, 1 pound bar, and Lance Brothers pistachios." "And this couldn't wait?" "No, Luther, it cannot wait. I'm doing dessert for lunch tomorrow." "If you don't want to go, then hush up, and I'll go." He slammed the door. His third step was into a shallow pothole. Cold water soaked his right ankle and oozed down quickly into his shoe. He froze for a second and caught his breath, then stepped away on his toes, trying desperately to spot other puddles while dodging traffic. Chips believed in high prices and modest rent. It was on a side alley, not visible from anywhere, really. Next to it was a wine shop run by a European of some strain who claimed to be French but was rumored to be Hungarian. His English was awful, but he'd learned the language of price gouging. Probably learned it from Chips next door. In fact, all the shops in the district, as it was known, strove to be discriminating. And every shop was full. Another Santa clanged away with the same bell outside the cheese shop. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer rattled from a hidden speaker above the sidewalk in front of Mother Earth, where the crunchy people were no doubt still wearing their sandals. Luther hated the store, refused to set foot inside. Nora bought organic herbs there, for what reason he'd never been certain. The old Mexican who owned the cigar store was happily stringing lights in his window, pipe stuck in the corner of his mouth, smoke drifting behind him, fake snow already sprayed on a fake tree. There was a chance of real snow later in the night. The shoppers wasted no time as they hustled in and out of the stores. The sock on Luther's right foot was now frozen to his ankle. There were no shopping baskets near the checkout at Chips, and, of course, this was a bad sign. Luther didn't need one, but it meant the place was packed. The aisles were narrow, and the inventory was laid out in such a way that nothing made sense. Regardless of what was on your list, you had to crisscross the place half a dozen times to finish up. A stock boy was working hard on a display of Christmas chocolates. A sign by the butcher demanded that all good customers order their Christmas turkeys immediately. New Christmas wines were in, and Christmas hams. What a waste, Luther thought to himself. Why do we eat so much and drink so much in the celebration of the birth of Christ? He found the pistachios near the bread. Odd how that made sense at Chips. The white chocolate was nowhere near the baking section, so Luther cursed under his breath and trudged along the aisle, looking at everything. He got bumped by a shopping cart. No apology, no one noticed. "God rest ye, merry gentlemen," was coming from above, as if Luther was supposed to be comforted. Might as well be Frosty the Snowman. 2 aisles over, next to a selection of rice from around the world, there was a shelf of baking chocolates. As he stepped closer, he recognized a 1 pound bar of Logan's. Another step closer, and it suddenly disappeared, snatched from his grasp by a harsh-looking woman who never saw him. The little space reserved for Logan's was empty. And in the next desperate moment, Luther saw not another speck of white chocolate. Lots of dark and medium chips and such, but nothing white. The express line was, of course, slower than the other two. Chips' outrageous prices forced its customers to buy in small quantities, but this had no effect whatsoever on the speed with which they came and went. Each item was lifted, inspected, and manually entered into the register by an unpleasant cashier. Sacking was hit or miss, though around Christmas the sackers came to life with smiles and enthusiasm and astounding recall of customers' names. It was the tipping season, yet another unseemly aspect of Christmas that Luther loathed. $6 and change for a pound of pistachios. He shoved the eager young sacker away and for a second thought he might have to strike him to keep his precious pistachios out of another bag. He stuffed them into the pocket of his overcoat and quickly left the store. A crowd had stopped to watch the old Mexican decorate his cigar store window. He was plugging in little robots who trudged through the fake snow, and this delighted the crowd no end. Luther was forced to move off the curb, and in doing so, he stepped just right instead of just left. His left foot sank into 5 inches of cold slush. He froze for a split second, sucking in lungfuls of cold air, cursing the old Mexican and his robots and his fans and the damp pistachios. He yanked his foot upward and slung dirty water on his pants leg, and standing at the curb with 2 frozen feet and the bell clanging away and Santa Claus is coming to town blaring from the loudspeaker and the sidewalk blocked by revelers, Luther began to hate Christmas.